W4DJW.
JJF, you're K4OIM.
Hey, Walt, how are you?
Staying home and trying to stay safe, Dave. How are you?
Doing the same. Not much of anything. Well, doing a little bit of programming, but and trying to keep from getting cabin fever. It's been over a week since I've left the house. I'm probably going to have to leave the house, though, in a day or two to go get some more food, though. How about you?
Night before I broke my neck, I bought a 32-foot camper trailer. And then after I broke my neck, I'm at high risk of falling. And I didn't have room in my bedroom for all my radio equipment, so I decided I was going have my ham shack in this camper. And now I'm in the process of taking everything out of the living room and the kitchen and moving it back where the bedroom is, where I'll have a pretty good size ham shack in here where I can put all my test equipment and everything. But I've been wanting to talk.
So I'm just now looking up an ICOM 7300 because I don't buy new radios much anymore. It's got it's an SDR with a color. Okay, yeah, I've heard about that one. I've looked that one up before. That appears to be a good radio, but I don't really know much about them. Usually the SDR radios that I have, most all of them, I think all of them, yeah, don't have any face. The computer is the radio, and the hardware is just the interface to the antenna. So those I don't know about, but it appears to be good. I mean, it's like less than the price of a new TS-2000. And how many bands they do? I don't know. I'd have to look at it. I'd have to study it some more. But it's got the waterfall and everything right there on the front. That would be convenient, not having to have a separate computer. The reason they didn't do that in the very beginning with the SDR radios is because you could, or at least this is what they said, because you can upgrade your computer many, many times over again and still use the same radio, and your computer gets faster and faster, and so your radio gets better and better. Plus, you get software updates from them, so you don't have to buy a whole new radio. But I think they've started swinging back the other way now and putting the computer inside the radio, which I suspect that's what that is, but I haven't looked at it close enough, Walt, to tell for sure.
And that is, to me, the whole idea of being a ham radio operator is to be ready in case of a emergency, a national disaster and everything. And if you got an SDR radio where the power grid goes down or the towers go down, you're going to be totally in the dark like somebody with a cell phone. Is that correct?
So they have the capability of remote operation that requires the internet to do remote operation. Like if you had, a ham shack that was located, like if you lived in two different cities, like went north and south all the time, and you didn't want to duplicate your ham shack at both stations, you could plug that into the internet, and you can have a device that you plug into the internet at a different location, and you can remote operate it. But if you're not using that remote, you can just use it direct, just like any other radio. Now, you do have to have electricity, but you're going to have that regardless, all right? You got to have a generator. You got to have power to be able to operate any of them. But there's no restrictions. You don't have to have the internet to operate that. You just need a connection to a computer if you want to take advantage of certain pieces of functionality. But that one appears that it'll operate standalone.
I'm trying to get completely off the grid. I'm going to go totally solar down here in my shack. I hope. But I'll have to look at that again, because I've been talking to guys on HF that's got 7300s. They all get good signal reports and everything. And one guy told me last night, he said, I wouldn't buy one right now because this virus going around. He said, you've seen the price of gasoline going down. The radios are going to go down, too. So I just might sit and wait another month or so before I make that decision. I think Gigaparts have got it right now for $1,029, including the power supply.
Okay, that's where I was looking at it, is Gigaparts. And by itself, it's $979 with free shipping. But I guess you can bundle it with other stuff and the price goes up. But they said the regular price is $1,179.95, and they've got it for $979 now.
K4BAM.
Go ahead, Alex.
$879 at HRO. I guess there's another... like $100 rebate good through the end of the month. And I've got one and I love it. I've actually never hooked mine to a computer yet, but you can do all the digital modes. It's got the built-in sound card if you want to hook it to your computer, but I've used it standalone since I've had it. It's a great radio.
Well, there you go, Walt. there's from somebody who owns one.
Be right on field day when I pull up my 32-foot camper with stove, refrigerator, and ready to operate all night.
Yeah, and I'm not a big HF operator, but a little bit I've done. I have a TS-2000, and that was the only HF radio I owned until I got a 7300 about 2 years ago, and I don't use it all the time. In fact, I use it very rarely. But comparing the two side by side and using both of them, the 7300 is more user friendly. It's touchscreen driven. It's pretty intuitive. So the sub menu, it basically looks like kind of like a smartphone almost. But of course, you don't have to have a computer. It just works standalone.
What bands does that one do? How many bands?
It's HF 3-6 meters.
So that's the reason the TS-2000 is more, because it's got VHF, UHF, and 23 centimeters, if you choose to add it.
K4BAM, yeah. That's why I got the 2000, is I'd never had a rig that could do single side band, mainly 2 meters, but 2 and 440. That's a good radio, too. I feel like the 7300, I bought the base mic, and then I was talking with this guy one day, and he's like, let me tell you the settings to change to make your base mic sound better for the 7300, and he walked me through all the menus, and it apparently sounds a lot better.
Go ahead, Walt. Don't mean to leave you out. W4DJW.
Boy, you never know till you ask. I was at your listening to you and Glenn down there talk a while ago. I'm saying, Glenn, please get off. I want to ask Dave a question. Like, I don't want to put that much money in something and it not be what I was expecting to get. So I'm going to wait a few more weeks before I make that decision. Maybe the price will go on down.
When I bought mine, it was $1,100. Now they're $879 after a few rebates. It looks like your most limiting rebate expires on $430, which, who knows, they may. That's a $95 rebate, but there's a $200 rebate in addition to that that expires on June 30th. So they may extend the $95, but it sounds like the 63020. The HRO website has the breakdown. It looks like it's $879, and I'm sure Gigaparts, I don't know if they have a similar deal or not.
Up to Atlanta, the HRO to pick it up.
Yeah, best part, you know, with internet sales tax, they charge you either way, so you might as well get it that day, right?
Now, a Kenwood 2-meter rig off of, I believe it was either eBay or QR QRZ. I believe it's QRZ. And the guy lived in Newbury. And I told him, I said, well, to save the shipping, Newbury's not that far from me. I said, I'll just drive down and pick it up, and you can meet me at the police station or wherever you want to meet me. He said, no, I don't like to do things that way. So I sent him cash money. And the radio showed up, but when it showed up, UPS, the box was mighty light. And when I opened it up, there was nothing there but the cabinet and the faceplate. And I don't do that no more. I'd rather go pick it up.
Well, I was looking at the reviews on this thing. They've got 16 reviews on Gigaparts, and out of 16 of them, 15 are 5 stars, right? And they all love it. One of them, he starts off with love it, but he had an issue with his, so he dropped it back 1 star. But all the rest of them, it looks like everybody that wrote a review on it liked it.
Yeah, looked on Gigaparts, it is the same price, and their rebate goes to the end of June, so yeah, you could probably wait out a couple months and see if they drop it anymore. Yeah, it looks like on EM they got 332 reviews, and the average overall rating is 4.7 out of 5 stars, so I guess that's okay.
Answers my question then. I appreciate all the help and feedback on it. So KPOM, I'll be clear with you there, Dave, and I forgot the other guy's call. And I'll be clear on y'all's final.
All right, well, good talking to you. And I hope you get that soon, not too soon, but at the right point in time, and it serves you well. It's got a field programmable gate array inside of it. So, yeah, that's a true software-defined radio. Some of them are saying they're calling them software-defined radios, but they're not. But that one is. That one's got a built-in FPGA. I think you're making a wise decision, Walt. Good talking to you. Take care. K4OIM W4DJW. Go ahead, Alex.
And yeah, I've only had mine maybe 2 years, and once again, I'm no HF aficionado, but just comparing that with the TS2000, which I've used the TS2000 a lot more. It was a lot easier for me just to power on the 7300 and use it than it was the TS2000. I had to break out the manual a lot on the TS2000 to figure stuff out. And I'm not even sure I've looked at the manual on the 7300. It's just the menu-driven part of it just lends itself to easy operation out of the box. But there's an SD card slot on it. I'm not sure. I think that allows you to record audio and probably some other stuff. And once again, I've never hooked up to the computer, so adding the computer probably gives you more, probably get a full, display on the waterfall and things like that. But, yeah. K4BAN.
Well, with the SDRs that I have, all of them that have a FPGA allow you to pull multiple slices off of the HF bands at the same time on different bands up to what? Well, one of them has 7 slices. The other one has 5. The Hermes has 7, and the Flex has 5 that you can pull off, slices that you can pull off of them. And then there's a couple others. QS1R. I think they've got 7. So, have you ever tried listening to multiple bands at the same time? Like contesters, I think, love to do that kind of stuff.
I'm not a contester by any stretch of the imagination. I'll go through periods of time when I'll just get on 20 meters after work and talk a little bit, and that's about all I would do. I've done that in the commercial side. I have a lot of those RTL SDRs up and running at any given time, doing different, just monitoring different frequencies. And I know their bandwidth is fairly narrow, but I've been able to, of course, monitor different bandwidths using multiple of those, but I've never done it in HF.
And it does say they have 15 different bandpass filters in there. But usually you can shape your own bandpass filter with an SDR. Maybe they've got 15 physical bandpass filters and then usually an unlimited quantity of software-defined bandpass filters. That looks like a really nice radio.
I was under the assumption standalone SDR radio almost seems like a now purpose of software defined radio, as far as I always understood it, was to basically divorce the process of reception from the process of demodulation. So in other words, my software defined radio is everything up to the IF. I'm going to take the IF raw audio and pipe it into the sound card of my computer, and that's going to actually demodulate the signal. So, as computers get faster and as software improvements come out, I can add other demodulators for other modes, and also, oh yeah, we have now version 2 of the product detector. You know, stop using version 1 because it's kind of sucky. So, as the computers get faster and as software improvements are made, your radio automatically by itself gets better. Seems like what they're doing now is they're putting a lot of that, the back-end processing, on dedicated computers that are part of the radio. Which is good that you have a self-contained unit, but less good that, you know, I don't know. I have to explore this area further.
And you're absolutely on the right track, Glenn. You've got it figured out. The issue has always been, until they switched over to Ethernet, the issue has been with the throughput coming from the SDR to the computer. So putting it co-located with the radio helps with that issue. But when you do want to relocate the radio, the software radio, to a computer, you've got to get it across to it. And they've used USB, FireWire, and Ethernet. And Ethernet is by far the best. The FireWire is really good when it works, but it doesn't always work. And USB, I don't know. I do have two of them that use USB, and I've never had any issue with the USB. But I don't think it was as fast as the FireWire when you get pulled. And sometimes that's not an issue. I mean, if you're rag chewing, that's not really an issue. If you're contesting and you're trying to get in there really quick, the latency could be a little bit of an issue to you. Or if you're sending high-speed CW, it might be an issue. But the being co-located, I think, makes that faster if you're on the same bus. Whereas getting it out of the radio and getting it over to the computer can sometimes be an issue unless they're using Ethernet. But then you have to have a gigabit Ethernet network, or it will suck up every bit of your bandwidth on your Ethernet, W4DJW.
Yeah, and I learned that lesson. I've actually done more with just different receivers and on higher frequencies, you know, VHF and up. But about an early SDR, I think it was called a FunCube or something like that, which may be confusing it with one of the AMSAT satellites. It was out of the UK, and it was like they sold them once a month, and they only had so many, and you had to be on their website to purchase it, like at the very moment it dropped. And I bought that thing and got it after like a month in the air or whatever it took to ship it. And I had a really old laptop, because I still have older computers, really. And that, man, the system resources, it just consumed it. So I definitely learned how much SDR consumes as far as resources and, of course, connection speed.
It's the little dongle that plugs into the USB port. Not worth it.
Those are fine, at least in my experience. I've only done mostly 100 megahertz up, public safety stuff. Dave can probably speak to the HF side, I think.
Yeah, the dongles are really good. I mean, for $20, and you can get, you can see the waveform on any. You can do a lot of spotting. You can't transmit with the dongle; it's just a receiver. But you can do a lot of spotting, see what's out there. I use one for an ADS-B receiver, and I was tracking all the airplanes that went overhead with their ADS-B signals and contributing to that flight tracker thing. There's a big company out there that does that, and I was uploading flights that were coming overhead. So they can be used for that. They can be used for listening to broadcast radio. They can be used for listening to stations on HF. You can up-convert them. You can down-convert them. You can use them on VHF. I mean, they're just a handy tool to have in your toolbox. You can also, instead of having to lug a big SDR radio up to the mountain, take one of those and plug it into a laptop, and you can see, you can get a spectrum analysis right there on the spot. Very, very low cost. Those things are great, Glenn. I'd put a couple of them in my toolbox. W4DJW.
If you get one, get the silver. In my opinion, get the silver one that's available on Amazon. It's the RTL-SDR.com version. I don't have to tune it. Usually, you have to go in and add some frequency correction to them. If you buy the cheaper, like $11 or $12 ones, they're like the regular black ones that are sold in the black plastic case that are sold as TV tuners, which that's what they are. But I would get the silver one with a SMA. And there's the silver. It'll be called the RTL-SDR. You can get it on Amazon. They go $20.
And I agree with that. Let me make sure I got it.
Basically, I guess it would be a subset of software-defined radio. The little USB dongle that acts as a TV tuner. Plug it in and watch TV on your computer.
Yeah, Glenn, I agree with Alex on that. I like 5 years ago when those things first came out, I got one of the little black ones. It's not an SMA connector. It's just got a little snap-on connector for the antenna. And I've used that thing so much, the case won't. I have to rubber band the case on it to keep it together because I've used it so much. But then recently I got another one. I was going to use it for monitoring other frequencies up there at the repeater site. And turns out it'll suck up all the juice that a Raspberry Pi has in a hurry. You need something with more power. I mean, you need power. You need CPU power to run one of those things. But so I couldn't put it on a Raspberry Pi. It'd do it, but all that the Pi had to keep up with it, and you had to get the latest Pi with the most memory and all that stuff. But the silver ones that Alex was talking about are by far superior. It's worth the extra $10 to get one of those. W4DJW.
Plus the fact that, as I said, you know, your computer is demodulating the signal, so as new demodulators become available, hey, you can now download version 1 of the F8 demodulator or the new FSK demodulator. Putting that work on the computer side as far as instead of the radio side makes more sense. We now have one with CW with a CW decoder, you know, things like that. I'll look into that. It's a cheap way to, they're cheap enough.
Yeah, just go to RTL-SDR. That's Romeo Tango Lima-SDR.com, and you'll see all the software that's available. I mean, you can take two of those dongles, they're $20 a piece, the PC, and make a public safety trunking scanner out of them. One will follow the control channel, the other one will go to the voice channel. And it's, $40 instead of $600 for a scanner, $500 or $600. Plus, you can decode other things. DMR, NXDN, all these digital protocols that are out now. And like you said, it's kind of becoming future-proof in a way. So now the software is doing all the heavy lifting. So, yeah, I love them. I probably have 10 of them now. I don't even know anymore. I've got 5 of them that are constantly running in a remote location. And they're great. I mean, I've got one that's been running for years.
Pi, I don't know about, but it's not going to tax even a 10-year-old desktop system, which is pretty much all I have, is 10, 12-year-old, 8-year-old desktop systems. But, you know, that's fine. Plenty of computing power to burn.
Yeah, Yeah, that'd probably be okay. I mean, I'm using mostly first, second gen i5, i7 processors, so maybe a third gen. I don't know what I have, but I don't have a lot of new stuff.
Well, I remember what I got that one for now. At the 6.1 repeater site, there's this signal that comes up on the input frequency every once in a while. And I was going to have it monitor that signal because you can see it down the band and you can see it drift up the band and you can see it pass over our input frequency and it continues to drift up the band. Then it'll turn around and come back down the band. It'll go mess with the 6.4 repeater's input for a little while, and then it'll mess with ours for a little while, and then it goes on down the band. I was going to monitor that thing with that RTL SDR. And know when it's coming, and when it gets close, raise our squelch setting up a little bit, and then when you see it going away, lower the squelch setting back down so we can get those distant stations. But it turned out that it consumed all the power that the Pi had to do that. I'd have to have a separate Pi, and that Pi would have to feed this Pi the information to tell it to turn its squelch setting up and down. But that kind of bombed out.
An idea, a dynamic squelch. That works. K4BA is.
We'll attack it again with a less granular setting to see if we can free up some CPU to make it worth its while.
RTL-SCR.com. I guess I could buy one. RTL-SCR store. Let me see what they sell for. I mean, they're probably not a lot of money. But, oh, yeah, $35. Okay, big deal. Yeah, hell, get two.
That gets you everything. Just the receivers, $22.95, it looks like. But, yeah, you can, I think if you get the, they sell one kit that comes with all the different antennas and things, K4BA.
And the antenna does make a big difference. I remember when I first got my first one, the antenna that they shipped was one of those little teardrop antennas, and it was the feed line was broken right there where it went into the Hershey Kish teardrop thing, and I couldn't get that thing to receive for anything. Finally tore into the antenna and found out it wasn't even connected. So I'd go for the antennas. They're nice to have. W4DJW.
Yeah, if you're in a pinch, and I've done it, if you've got a small paper clip, you can just and you need to receive a very local signal. I've done that before. Just shove the paper clip in the center pin.
Okay, it's about the size of a pack of stick of gum. SMA female connector on one side, USB connector on the other side. And that's about all there is to it. And like $35 each. Hell, get more than one.
They're good, too, if you're, like, if you build radios much and you want to hunt for a signal on a board, to take a piece of coax and cut it off square and then just run the end of that coax along the board and watch for the signals on the screen. They make a pretty good probe, too.
Good spec analyzer. you know, all kinds of neat stuff with it. I'll say it's the single most exciting thing I've messed with since I got my ham radio license in 97. $20 and I'm thrifty.
$34.95, even that's cheap enough. But, alright, maybe I'll order one. It'll give me something to do. Anyway, let's go mix another scotch and you talk among yourselves. KD2BNG.
So, Alex, how are you keeping yourself busy during this self-imposed lockdown?
I bought a bunch of dongles because I wanted to create a multi-receiver system for 800 megahertz. And so I had an 800 megahertz multi-receiver multi-coupler. And so I was just connecting them all together to one multi-coupler to one antenna. But, yeah, definitely the antenna makes a difference.
Well, I've just been told somebody's going to show up here at the door in a few minutes, and I've got to go answer it. So if I show up missing, you'll know where I am.
I'm looking at desktop computers, but I don't usually go for high-performance stuff. I need a new desktop. I've got older things here, and I don't know. I just did some horse training, got a new monitor, at least new to me. It's a 34-inch ultra-wide LG. I tell you, I already had a 24-inch kind of a wide, and a 32-inch television I was using as a monitor, but this LG is amazing.
Have you picked it up yet, or are you just looking at it?
Well, as far as the monitor, I already got it, but the PC I haven't decided on yet. I'm just using a laptop I've had. It's an older Dell, probably a second-gen i7 on a docking station.
Okay. Well, I was looking at my desktop is about 5 years old now, so it's about to the point I need to upgrade. And I went out a few weeks ago looking and did what I always do. I add on and add on and add on until it gets to a price that I'm not willing to pay, and then I forget it. But then they've got smart to that. Now when you go on Facebook after you do that, they keep popping up in Facebook. So that's going to take me back over there and have me take a second look at them again. They sure have come a long ways in 5 years from the one that I've got now to what's available. And the prices, every time I get one, it's less than the one I paid for before, and it's like 10 times more performant.
So I should have mentioned the gentleman earlier. Maybe he's got his email address or something, he can drop a line. I've learned, it turns out if you go to Gigaparts and you create an account, and you create the account, and you log in like you normally do, and then you start shopping, and you add a radio to your cart, and then just close the browser, log out, whatever, and wait a couple of days, they'll email you a few percent off coupon code, which at $900, it ends up being probably $40, $50 off. So I should have mentioned that, and I forgot.
Yeah, that'd be good for Walt to hear. I wonder where people get those coupons that they always show up when you're checking out. Put your coupon here. How do you get coupons? That's pretty good.
Or did it for me when I was looking at an FT818. I still haven't bought it. a lot of people go to RetailMeNot, the website, if you want to save 30, 40 bucks off in store. Like Advanced Auto Parts or something. That's what I'll do. Or any store, really. And they usually have about 20 coupon codes, and only one or two of them work. But it's worth a try if you're making a big ticket purchase.
Well, that's good to know, because I'm not in any hurry, but I'm looking at that latest Yaesu handheld. The 3DR, I think, is what it is. Or there might be a 4DR. I don't know. I've looked at them several times. And look at the Dell XPS. That's the last three or four computers I bought. They always turn out to be that one. That's where it looks like you can get the most for your money. W4DJW.
Yeah, those are definitely the performance machines. I don't do anything high performance. It's all internet browsing. Usually any of the FTR stuff I do is done on a computer in a remote location. I use TeamViewer to log in and look at it, and it just stays on all the time because I don't have a lot of antennas here at the house, and I kind of like that because then I don't have to pay the power bill.
Yeah, computers will run them up. Since I got all these Raspberry Pis, I don't keep servers running much anymore at all. My power bill came down in half. Those computers were half of my power bill.
Being one of these thin clients that, you know, it's not really a high-performance PC, but if you leave it on all the time, it's no big deal. Because things are pretty efficient. We had to do a calculation at work on some thermal loading in a building, in a room, and of course we had to take into account everything, including monitors and computers and stuff. And, yeah, they're getting really efficient compared to what they used to be.
Yeah, back before the GPUs were around, I was using a lot of CPUs, like motherboards with four CPUs on it, and then multiple logical CPUs on each physical CPU. And those things, if you ran a ray trace of a movie, you're going to build some animation, and you render each screen, and then you go, you know, you render a screen, go to the next screen, and you get three or four computers, and they pick up, one will do a quarter of the movie, another one will do another quarter, another one will do another quarter, and the other one do the last quarter. Then that'll keep a room hot for a long time, and that will really run up the power bill, because those CPUs are all running, doing ray tracing of scenes for days on end. And at the end of the month, you see it in the power bill. W4DJW.
Yeah, K4BAN. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get too... Power bill hasn't been too high, which can be a little deceiving. We use natural gas for heating in the winter, so it's only in the summer do I notice. But, yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. So I don't know what to get. I may just hang on to the laptop for a while. It's working. If it fails, I'll have to do something, but... I still have a rotating drive in it, so I need to probably switch it out to an SSD. I have a spare one here. That would definitely add a lot.
That was another thing that got me looking, as I noticed that when mine's booting up, and I'm having to boot it up more often than I used to have to, so that's a sign. But it did put a new hard drive in it not too long ago, a 5 terabyte hard drive. And I was able to successfully back up my old hard drive to another internal hard drive, and then restore to the 5 gigabyte hard drive that exact same image, and it actually worked. I was shocked. So I got a good hard drive now. Usually that's what goes out, and that's what gets me to buy a new one. But I did notice that you can get NVMe now, like 2 terabyte NVMe stick, which is like 30 times faster than a 7200 RPM hard drive, which means when it's booting up, there's no waiting for it to, like, you gotta, usually when this one, I've got so much loaded on it, but when it boots up, you gotta wait another 2 or 3 minutes for the hard drive to settle down. With that NVMe, that should be like 10 or 15 seconds and you're done. That's really the attraction. That plus the faster, you know, going from 4 physical CPUs to, with 8 logical CPUs to 6 physical with, I forget, like 12 logical CPUs for a lower price than I paid for the other one, plus a GPU card that's got, instead of 2,400, it's got like 4,800 CPUs. I got to go. Let me grab this phone. I'll be back in a minute. That'd be for DJW.
Amazing how things have gotten a lot better. All right, K4PA.